We start off a whole new area now of coverage as far as Southside Broadcasting and Siren FM is concerned, the midweek drive at least, on location, because we've been joined by our countryside correspondent, Lou Bevin, who's currently in a discussion about Chinese pork with Ian Mills. It's amazing what actually happens in that whole thing. And we'll just start listening to this. So, Lou, pork.
Okay, Monday, you've got a live pig.
Yes.
Pig, P-I-G.
Yes.
You kill it.
Yes.
On Tuesday.
Yes.
It's then a dead pig.
Yes.
Which, when you hang it up on a hook, it is pork.
Yes.
Cut it in half.
Yes.
And you've got two sides of pork.
Yes.
Now, this is normally how we eat it, i.e. roast pork, pork joints. Look across the way here, the latest craze is the pulled pork, which is a way of using the shoulder, slow roast it and pull it off the bone,
oh,
and then put it in a sandwich. Pulled pork is now becoming. Okay, we go one step further. In order to make, go back 300 years, in order to make the side of pork last through the winter, remember it will go off in about a week, it will go rotten, brine it or put it in salt, it then keeps through the winter.
Great.
Guess what? Salted pork is bacon.
Oh.
So in the effort to make things last longer, they created a whole new, and everybody knows bacon and eggs for breakfast.
Yes, definitely.
And everybody loves pork. And the saying with a pig, never forget this, when you kill a pig,
yes,
the only thing that you lose is a squeal.
Okay.
Everything else on the pork, on the pig, the live pig, has a use. Right down to, if you go and see what Picasso was using to paint his famous pictures, all the bristles on his brushes were pig hair.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Pig hair,
oh,
the finest bristles. So, pig's feet, pig's trotters, pig's tails, all, you mentioned the Chinese delicacies over there.
It is definitely.
The intestines,
yes,
the chitlings.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
All the intestines are used.
Yes.
The heart, the liver, the lungs, everything is used.
And the pig is also, because I was speaking to a young lady in one of the shops in Lincoln, and I says, what's your favourite animal? And she loves pigs as a pet. She says, someone told me that the pigs are the most intelligent animal as regards to what they do and how they live socially. And yeah, they're so popular even to eat.
Well, if you look at you, look at me.
Yes.
We're different colour skins, that's by. I can find a pig out there with dark skin.
Yes.
But we've got skin,
yes,
with hair on.
Yes.
We've got top teeth, we've got bottom teeth.
Yes.
So is pig.
Yes.
In the early days of heart transplanting, the mitral valve from the pig's heart was identical
to the human
heart. And was used.
Yes.
We are, I think, more similar to pigs than we are to apes.
Mm. And in all the years we've been working together, Lou, that has to be the most interesting introduction we've ever actually provided. It's normally a case of, well, weather's okay today. Yeah, just hope it's the magic of Ian Mills. Lou, you've had a little wander around. You've had a little wander around the show today. Your thoughts on the 2014 Lincolnshire Agricultural Society show?
I've only had a little one. I've looked at some tassel of sheep. They were nice. Cattle, I do not want to be negative, but I think the cattle numbers are down. Therefore, I think the quality's down a bit, but we'll have a further look at that later on and see if people...
Check that out, because I think in terms of original exhibitor lines, there were fairly record numbers exhibiting here, so maybe they're on patrol, maybe they're just partying somewhere.
Yep, could be out on the town.
OK, we're going to take you to the Siren FM stand now, so you'll hopefully be interviewed with some of our younger contributors. I say younger contributors, I'll pass you over to Ed Wellman, and hopefully we'll catch up with you in a few moments. You're listening to Southside Broadcasting and Siren FM on location at the Lincolnshire Show, and Lou Bevin will be joining us with his own views as we head off probably to Curtis of Lincoln and more as the show proceeds. The joyous, quintessentially English sounds of the folk dancing, Morris dancing and so on in the background there, with the whoops of joy as Lou Bevin and myself are back on the field at the Lincolnshire Showground, of course. And again, we were saying yesterday, pretty much perfect weather as far as the show is actually concerned. Nice little gentle breeze. Yesterday, just a little word of warning, it did get a little bit hot towards the end of the day, and it's worthwhile making sure you have your sunscreen ready. But Lou, I think we're heading off now to try and track down Neil Curtis.
Yeah, let's go and have a look. You know, there's one thing I like about this show. It's the fact that Lincolnshire is food, it's horticulture, it's agriculture. They really ought to make the most of it which they do. Curtis is one of the last remaining bacon curers. We all like bacon for breakfast.
Unless you're vegetarian, of course.
Unless you're vegetarian, of course. I'm sure there's an alternative.
Croissant.
Yes, you've still got the crumbs on your coat. Yeah, but I just like having a talk with the older guys, seeing how they're changing. Different styles, different tastes, which these companies have still got to take on board, because if that's the way the trend is going, you've got to go with the trend, otherwise you don't go anywhere. So it's always interesting to have a word.
About 70 to 82 kilos. So
well, we have arrived at the location, which is, of course, the Neil Curtis environment. Yep. That's obviously sort of great for all carnivores. Not so much for vegetarians, though, Neil, really.
Not really, no. But the lovely smell of bacon in the background just adds to the thing of with the smoked bacon of the carcasses themselves.
Previous years, of course, we've only contacted you early on in our coverage of the Lincolnshire show. We thought we'd save the best to last in this particular sort of savour the whole thing through. Of course, we've got Lou Bevin with us as ever. Lou, share with us your observations, then Neil can possibly sort of either add to that or come on with various other comments and replies.
Well, just picking up there what Neil said earlier on regarding you give the producers a spec, which is trade for specification, i.e. that the carcass or side shall be within the following weight ranges. And you were saying there that one or two were...
overweight.
So do you DQ, do you disqualify for...
No, well, we've got them cured and smoked and brought them along here to make, you know, a show. And it gives you a variety to look at because, OK, they're overweight, but they're still considered differences in size, eye muscle, thickness of streaky, yeah, which is an important thing when looking at different breeds. And it shows how things do vary from pig to pig, from breed to breed.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, basically, are most of your clients now producing one of the modern hybrid types rather than saying you've got people on Gloucester, Old Spot, and some of the old breeds that we used to know?
Well, I think the problem with the real traditional rare breeds, like you mentioned, Gloucester, Old Spot, is obviously they produce a lot more fat. Mm. And, of course, in the commercial world, people don't want that. Some people want it because of flavour, but in the commercial world, of course, all the advertising, all the pump from the government, eat less fat, fat's bad for you. But I say everything in moderation.
Indeed.
And fats there just help with the succulence, with the flavour. And so therefore, unfortunately, the rarer breeds are not on show today. They're more of a crossbreed. Still got a few of the not more commercial traditional breeds, say like your Welsh, and your large white and your crosses on there. So you do get that influx, but also you do have one or two entries or like the hybrids from different breeds mixed together.
Perhaps we want to point out here that the hybrids have been created to give superb food conversions. I mean, we're getting now down to I suppose with pigs, are we down to 2-1 yet?
I'm not sure on that one. Obviously, I deal with end product.
But when I mentioned 2-1, that we get into... In the old days, for instance, you would feed 10 pounds of feed for the animal to produce 1 pound of flesh. So that was 10-1. We're now at the stage on some of these modern hybrids of virtue. I mean, with chicken, for instance, we're at 1.9-1.
Yeah, something like that.
And turkeys, you know, Bernard Matthews wasn't wrong on what he did, because he could convert corn at pennies a pound into flesh at pounds a pound. And if you can get a conversion, I mean, this is where mathematics and science
comes into it, that's the breeding of it,
exactly,
isn't it?
Exactly. So don't think you've just got to be a thick farmer with a straw in your mouth. You need to be a scientist as well to be good at this game.
Certainly, we're trying to bat against stereotypes on that point of view. Neil, I'm going to give a rare case of presenter endorsement here, because recently I've been visiting Curtis & Lincoln in North Highcombe. And not only is there an excellent sort of wonderful sort of team that you've actually got working there, but I have to say, hats off to the 6 flaky sausage rolls for a pound. I really enjoyed those.
All right, well, thank you very much.
I was really actually do that, but I thought I'd just bowl it in there. How's the year been for yourself, though? Because obviously we didn't connect with you at the new the Nottinghamshire show, let's get the name right. How's it been going?
Oh, it's not too bad. Obviously, Nottinghamshire show was, sort of earlier on, and it really kicks the season off. It's a lot quieter than Lincolnshire, but still a nice, fun event. The weather, I think, affected a few things there, but unlike Lincolnshire, which had superb weather yesterday, and it's dry, it's ideal for walking around, and it's just a nice atmosphere to be here.
And just looking around at the winners here, let's give them some name checks, etc. We're standing currently by first prize, in fact, special award, etc. Just talk us through what we've got here. It's Alford and Sons, we see.
Yeah, under John Alford, who's based at near Bardney, he's got the champion. The actual carcass is judged on 2 points. 1 point's the measurement, and then on the visual inspection. And it's going very well with the good eye muscle of the actual carcass, good thickness streaky, which you visually, and then you look at the shoulder, the neatness of it, and then you come to the last point which people go for, the gammon, the size and shape of it. And that's another key thing of look at their overall appearance, and then the points totted up, and then come up with the winner.
I'm intrigued to see a system in the mark sheet which has got penalty points here for excessively soft or discoloured fat, poor flesh quality and or colour, excessively coarse ring, I dare not ask what that is, blemished or marked rind side, and a lack of finish or rind fat separation. How often do penalty points actually come into the mix?
Rarely, but it can occur, but normally, you know, those sort of things, they're getting less and less, you know. So really it shows a sign how well the producer's doing, because obviously some of those things are down to like, for example, rind fat separation is when the eye muscle actually separates from the rind itself, and of course when you're slicing it comes apart, that's not good at all. And then you get the fat. Now if it's too soft, again that can affect the cutting and processing of it, as well as discoloration. And that could be down to bruising, could be down to genetics or other things as well.
Yeah, I mean, you eat primarily, first of all, with your eyes. So if you've got a beautiful tray of sliced bacon, which is the way you'd want to see it, that's how you want to see it. The points that we just mentioned there regarding things almost coming to pieces, the machines won't handle them as well as the perfect size. So then you've got a factory saying, whoa, hang on, we've got a problem here with production or whatever. Mm. Yeah.
I see these points, they're all very valid.
Yeah, they're very valid, and the way things are here today, and obviously the actual presentation point of view, the eye muscle, which is everybody, as you say, everybody buys with eyes, that's a key thing.
Yeah.
And oh yes, go for it. And of course, you're not careful, you talk about weight earlier on,
mm-hmm.
you get too big. All right, looks very nice, but when you put that on the scale, it weighs too much, it won't fit the consumer's pocket.
Spec. That's right, yeah. You know, you need 12 rashers on a tray, to weigh between, let's go grams here, to weigh between 250 and 280. If you've got the side that's a beautiful side, but it's a bit too big, you can only put 7 rashers on it. The spec says 12 rashers, so I know from working within the trade how important it is.
No.
We were talking earlier to Chris Pocklington, of course, from Pocklington's Bakeries up in Louth and so on, and he was very keen to stress that all of their ingredients are locally sourced and so on. And in the same way, actually, here from, obviously, the meat market, Curtis of Lincoln, as its name suggests, you're working very much at local suppliers, presumably.
Yes, well, we can. Obviously, in fact, John Alford is one of our suppliers, as well as Mr. Kirk. So we do source where we can, local producers, and use them to promote them, and ideal to buy local.
I sense that the tent is beginning to actually fill up, marquee and so on and so forth. Obviously, people are attracted by the smell and the joys that come through as far as Curtis Bakers of Lincoln are actually concerned. Once again, an exemplary sort of production. And Neil, let's touch base before the next Lincolnshire show.
I hope so. Look forward to it.
It's often overlooked that Lou Bevin is also a specialist not only in countryside and rural matters, but also in terms of preparing food and catering industry, etc. Indeed, you've lectured in catering at Doncaster College, I believe.
That's right, yes, many moons ago.
So it's important, I think, at this particular moment, just to take a sort of few seconds to reflect on the recent government health warning that suggests you can get some very nasty, indeed paralysing bacteria if you actually take your chicken from the supermarket and wash it under cold water, or wash it under water in any case.
Yeah. The thing with poultry, there are over 4,000 different types of salmonella in the world. Of the 4,000 types, there are only 2 types which will infect or affect poultry. So there are 3,900 which the poultry will actually tolerate within their gut. What happens during processing, the gut is punctured, and so it is possible that the bird may have salmonella or campylobacter on the carcass. What they didn't quite get over to the general public, it's the effect of splashing. When you wash the bird at home, you're splashing the water in your sink. If you're then washing salad vegetables in the same sink, which you're not going to cook, you're going to put those salad vegetables on your plate, beautifully infected with salmonella or campylobacter. Also, your chopping board, etc., that you use, or even your knife, because it's very seldom that people wash a knife in between cutting one product and another. I think that's where they painted the right picture, but they didn't get it over in a correct manner. It's the same as cooking. If you cook something till it is fully cooked, get away from this. Everything has to be rare. Heat destroys vitamins. Although, may I say, when I see the advert for Ribena, which is very, very rich in vitamin C, being made with boiling water, which therefore kills all the vitamin C, I think that's a bit of a wrong one.
Challenge you should obviously sort of take up with the Beecham Company or whoever actually is responsible for that. So some wonderful sage words there. In short, here at the Lincolnshire Show, we would probably say ultimately keep your knives and kitchen utensils separate and don't wash your poultry.
No, just don't. Just the heat will destroy anything, especially on the exterior, and if you cook it fully, it will also destroy anything on the interior.